important of these are the amino acids, which exist in proteins and peptides. And so we're going to move to those as soon as we cover some of the basics with some simpler polyphenolic acids. I have on the board acetic acid as the archetypal carboxylic acid. And then I have two diprotic acids, succinic acid, and adipic acid. These are the common names for these dicarboxylic acids. Their scientific names are 1, 2, 3, 4, butane dioic acid, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, hexane dioic acid. However, they're usually called succinic acid and adipic acid, so we'll stick with their common names. Now notice that we have two pKa values once we have two carboxylic acid groups, and I've given the pKa values here. And we want to compare them then to the pKa value of the single carboxylic acid group we have in acetic acid. You can see that, of course, these two protons are equivalent, and so the first ionization can be either one of those. And so either one for the first ionization has the pKa value of 4.21, but once I have removed one of the protons, then the other proton becomes significantly less acidic. And so we want to talk about first why the first proton is more acidic than the one in acetic acid, and then secondly, why does it become so much harder to remove the second proton once we've removed the first one. And I think you know the answers to both of those questions. Why is succinic acid more acidic in its first ionization than acetic acid? I just didn't hear.
Is it resonance?
Well, the resonance, if I draw the structure of the anion in each case, so this is the anion for acetic acid, the acetate ion. And let me draw the corresponding anion for succinic acid. And it wouldn't have mattered which of these protons I removed. I have similar resonance in both of them. I can draw a resonance contributor in which I delocalize the charge to the other oxygen in either case. So resonance is not the reason for the difference. It's a good reason for why it's as acidic as it is, but not for the difference. Any other ideas? Yep. And what is the thing that's doing the inductive effect? The other carboxylic acid group here. Okay? So I have the partially positive carbon, these oxygens more electronegative than carbon, and so I have an electron withdrawing effect through the bonds of one carboxylic acid group stabilizing the carboxylate anion in the other case. So this base is weaker than the base in acetate ion. When the base is weaker, the corresponding conjugate acid is stronger. Well, why is it so hard to remove the second proton? Why does the pKa go up for the second one? Charge in the molecule. So let's just write a little equation for the removal of the second proton. And I'm going to put the hydronium ion that has resulted sort of up there to remind us that we're trying to pull this positively charged species away from an ion that now is doubly negatively charged. And so we have to exert more energy. It is harder to do to remove that proton from something that is already negatively charged. So the first proton is easier to remove than it was for acetate ion, but the second proton is harder to remove. Now notice what happens with adipic acid. The first proton is more like the proton in acetic acid. In other words, the pKa has gone up relative to the pKa of succinic acid for the first ionization. But the pKa for the second ionization has gone down. What's going on here?
Acid.
we compare this, these two structures, we will see that the structure to the right is the one that we should be considering. Because if we consider this as an equilibrium between two acids, this is the stronger acid, this is the weaker acid, and the proton resides on the weaker acid. So we have an equilibrium where the proton is mostly on the nitrogen and only a little bit on the oxygen atom of the amino acid. So the true structure of the amino acid is in this form, where it is an internal salt. The proton has been transferred from the oxygen to the nitrogen, and we call that form the Zwitterion, the internal salt, where we have the negative charge and the positive charge within the same species, not two separate ions that can migrate apart from each other. Well, let's write a series of equilibria for alanine. And I'm going to start with the form that will exist at low pH, where I have both of the basic sites in the molecule protonated. So at low pH, I will be protonated at the nitrogen and protonated at the oxygen. But as I add base to the system, I will deprotonate. And if we look up the actual pKa values of the two acidic protons here, it turns out that this one is about 2.34. This one is 9.69. So when I add base to the system, which proton is going to leave first? The one on oxygen or the one on nitrogen? The one on oxygen is going to leave first. So the first deprotonation of this polyprotic acid, and this is why I'm calling it a polyprotic acid, I've got two protons here that I can lose. So the first ionization gives me that species, and if I were to add acid to that, it would go back to being this species here. Okay. So at low pH I have this, at intermediate pH, amino group, it depends on whether you compare it to ammonia. ammonium ion, which has a pKa of about 9.4, or methyl ammonium ion, which is about 10, it lies somewhere in that range. And you can argue two ways. You can say, well, it's a little more basic than you expect. These electrons are a little more available because they're close to a negative charge. Or you can argue, well, you have the carbonyl group there still, therefore it makes it a little more unavailable. It lies right at the cusp of where you expect it to be, and so it's a little hard to make an argument about that as well. Well, we're interested in two numbers. One of them is for a technique that is very often used in analyzing for amino acids or peptides, proteins, and in separating them. And that's called electrophoresis, where you put the substance on a gel, you put two electrodes on it, and then you watch to see where the compound migrates in this electric field. And there is a point at which no migration takes place. And that pH is called the isoelectric point, the point in which, at which the charges within the molecule are balanced so that it migrates neither to the positive electrode nor to the negative electrode. So one value we're going to be interested in is pH for what we call the isoelectric point. Constant of a weak acid, the Ka, And from that, then, by certain manipulations, we arrived at the Henderson-Hasselbalch equation, which said that the pH was equal to the pKa plus the log of the ratio of the concentration of the conjugate base of the acid to the concentration of the conjugate acid itself. So this is a relationship that relates the pKa of the particular acid we're talking about to the pH of the solution. And we went further and said that when the special point at which we had an equal concentration of the conjugate base and the conjugate acid, so when the concentration of the conjugate base equaled that of the conjugate acid, then the log, this term, the log of the concentration of the conjugate base over that of the conjugate acid was equal to zero. So that allows us to cancel out this term. And we have this one special point at which the pH of the solution is equal to the pKa of the acid that we're talking about. So now let's see what it looks like if we try to plot what kinds of species we have at different pHs for alanine. Base one. this point, half of the species in solution will be that of the conjugate base. Then I continue to add more base. I'm now at this point, that's what we said, an intermediate pH here. And I continue to add base. Let me remind you that I can go this way too with acid. I continue to add base. And so at the pKa value corresponding to this proton, which is the one I'm now going to remove, 9.69, I again have a crossing point. Species builds in. And I'm deliberately drawing these longish tails to remind you that this doesn't happen all at once, that all three of these things are really in equilibrium with each other. We're just talking about what predominates at any one pH. And so somewhere around here, we begin to see some of the third species coming in. pH, then it becomes the predominant species. So here, we have that species. Two questions. One is, what is the isoelectric point? And that is the point at which we have a maximum for our balanced ionic species, the Zwitterion. What is the predominant form there? That's what we're talking about. And if I did it accurately, if I calculated at every point what the concentrations were, I may have exaggerated how early the blue really begins to appear. But the point I'm really trying to make is that it doesn't suddenly become blue. That there is some blue way back. Any other questions? Okay, well, is this true of all amino acids? And the answer is no. Alanine is what we call a neutral. But other amino acids have additional amino groups, or other basic groups, or other acidic groups on the side chain. And therefore, they tend to be not just diprotic, as alanine is, but triprotic, and so on. So let's take a look at lysine as an important basic amino acid. It's very often found in the active site of enzymes, and so we're interested in knowing what form it exists in at those positions. So lysine has two amino groups. One of them is at the alpha position. The other one is at the epsilon position.
Next.
this is the form in which I have a balance of charges there. And also presumably then the form that exists at the isoelectric point. Abundances on one axis, pH on the other. Corresponding to the ionization of this third proton, in other words, at 10.53. So you see, this happens very fast. This falls off. And my final, most basic species comes in. Now the structures are too big to write here, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to label them. This is structure A. This is structure B. This is structure C. And this is structure D. Okay? So we have A predominating in this region. We have B predominating in this region. Here we are at C, and we finally get to D. So let's ask our two questions. What is the isoelectric point for this species? Well, the species that exists at the isoelectric point is C. So our isoelectric point is here. So it has a high isoelectric point. And what is the form that exists at physiological pH? Remember, we defined that as 6.5. Now, which form is it? B is the species we have at physiological pH. So at physiological pH, notice that the amino group at the epsilon position of the amino acid lysine is provalent. In other words, lysine is positively charged at physiological pH. And this is significant, for example, in the structure of a protein. To have the positive charge on one lysine molecule interacting in an ionic fashion with the negative charge of a carboxylic acid group somewhere else in the molecule. So you have ionic intermolecular type of interactions, non-bonding, but still helping to shape the structure of the protein. Okay? So the overall shape of the protein is a multiple of these various interactions through the molecule. Do you have a question?
You said that the isoelectric point was also
No, it's the arithmetic mean
between those two.
What is the HA and what is the A minus for that particular range, okay? Any other questions about what I've done? Okay, next time we'll start talking about carbon acids and enolate ions and then move on to their reactions. Thank you.